There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
According to the UN, between 8 to 12 million tons of plastic waste is estimated to enter into the oceans every year. If current rate of consumption and disposal continues, by 2050, it's expected there will be more plastic than fish in the sea. Dubai Municipality recently announcing a delay in its pay-as-you-throw fee. And this is what sort of raised a bit of a red flag for me here. Albeit, we've been in touch with Dubai Municipality and they say a new implementation date is expected to be announced shortly. The disposal fees will make commercial groups, private and public institutions and freehold-based residential communities pay for their trash based on how much they generate. Look, this is a policy that's been put into place in many parts of the world, has proved to be very successful as well. Hopefully, Georgia Tolley, the reason for this delay is just ensuring that the right infrastructure is in place to be able to collect those fees.
I think there's a suggestion that essentially there was a possibility that the charges could be just moved straight onto the customer. And I think the municipality wants to make sure that the structure is in place so that that isn't necessarily the case, that consumers aren't impacted immediately. And I think that's a very good thing, because I'm not ready to pay hugely inflated amounts of money to get my rubbish taken away. And I don't particularly want them rifling through it to see how much I'm making.
Last time we discussed all things plastic here on the agenda, we invited in three individuals who were very much at the forefront of tackling a plastic-free environment here. They're taking on the challenge of ensuring that they collected all the plastics they used for an entire month to make sure to give people a very visible, narcissistic way of looking at exactly how much we get rid of on a daily basis and on a monthly basis. This again has come very much to the fore with a number of major corporations and companies, not just here in the region but elsewhere, debating the benefits of single-use plastics and battling over things like straws. I mean, the fact that you've got McDonald's and Tetra Pak coming out, their board members amongst others, and rejecting proposals to get rid of plastic straws in light of what is a large campaign worldwide is frankly surprising. Or is it that surprising? Let's get some more impact on this. Let's get some more thoughts on this one from one of those plastic-free individuals, Nyla, who was with us here a few weeks ago, joins us live on the line. Nyla from Plastic 3. Good morning to you, Nyla.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well indeed. First and foremost, give us an update on how the initiative went, the Plastic Free initiative that we were dealing with you and your friends a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was with Marita and Riska. It went very, very well. We had a bunch of live events on Earth Day, which was the culmination of the entire project in April. And it's gained a lot of traction. We're still doing talks and trying to spread the word and the message, but a lot is coming to the forefront now, not just in local news, but in international news about the importance of reducing plastic on a global scale.
Let's deal with that international news first. I mean, that's very much to the fore over the last 3 days. EU proposing a ban on common single-use plastic straws, cotton buds and cutlery across the whole of the European Union. I'm assuming this is a move that you will welcome.
Yeah, I actually was a bit surprised that it came so quickly, but at the same time, it's because this issue is, I mean, we have to do something now. We have to do something yesterday. So the fact that it did come so quickly was really, really amazing. It means that we're moving in the right direction and we understand the urgency.
In terms of local news, I suppose the one that's caught a lot of people's eyes is this move by Dubai Municipality to announce a delay in its pay-as-you-throw fee. It's not saying that it has shelved these plans. It will make sure that they are implemented just at a later date, that is. From your discussions with local corporations, local companies, local decision-makers, are we on a par with the decision and the movements elsewhere in the world?
We are very far behind, but I think that it's also because this is a country that is very new. It's only really been built in the last 40 years. So, there's got to be some kind of leeway. We can't build Rome in a day. So we're getting there. We are certainly making more progress in the last 5 years than most people have in the last 5 years. But we need to make a lot of changes, and I think the major one needs to come from the consumer.
In terms of that, the concept of pay as you throw, I understand from my reading that this will come in from a corporate and company level first and foremost, and will be based on the amount we generate, the amount of waste we generate. Paying of penalties for generating too much waste, is that a good step in the right direction?
I've always believed that it's more motivating to run towards something rather than away from something. So punishing people for producing too much is running away from something. It's an approach. It's definitely going to raise awareness. Companies are going to be more mindful about how much they produce, and they're probably going to put that pressure onto their employees to produce less as well. So it is a good thing, but maybe not the best method or approach. But it's definitely, I mean, nothing that we do now in that direction is going to be bad. Every little step needs to happen.
Nyla, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for your thoughts this morning. And Nyla, one of those individuals here, as there are many and a growing number of people encouraging companies and individuals, as Nyla was saying there, to go plastic free. We'll post up details of how you can get in touch with their campaigns in just a few moments' time. In the meantime, though, we turn our attention to those large corporations here in the region. In fact, we're going to be hearing from somebody from the Jumeirah Restaurant Group, JRG, who are taking the initiative a little further. They're up next. Talking about the perennial problem of waste here in the region. Not food waste so much, but more to do with single-use plastics. Waste in general has been all over the headlines recently. The EU, as you will well know, is proposing a ban on common single-use plastic like straws, etc. Countries around the world have tried different interventions to tackle this issue. In Kenya, where an estimated 24 million plastic bags were once used monthly, it is now completely illegal to make or use plastic bags in the country. And those that flout the law face up to 4 years in jail or a 38,000 dirham fine. Residents of Ireland are also waking up this week to a new regime when it comes to waste, or certainly for those that depend on waste firm Panda to collect their wastage. They're now charging for recycling, there is a little bit of an outrage over in Ireland as a result of that one. But as always the case, we often see this with change. It is not always welcomed with open arms. Let's talk more change here in the studio, because we're going to go now to the team from Jumeirah Restaurant Group who join us live on the line. We've got the marketing manager of JRG, Jumeirah Restaurant Group, Nikki Walsh, joining us live on the agenda. Good morning, Nikki.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Georgia. How are you?
Lovely to hear from you. Talk to us about the changes that Jumeirah Restaurant Group are bringing or have brought in and are looking to bring in with regards to plastics.
So we, back in March of this year, we elected to go straw-free across all of our nine brands. And this was actually an initiative that was kind of really brought to the fore by Ian O'Han from Freedom Pizza. We look at the issue kind of very personally. Our general manager, Emma Banks, a friend of the show, was actually on holiday in Bali and saw firsthand what the plastic pollution in paradise looked like, and was really shocked by it. And so we'd already started with the rebrand of Noodle House last year in November, introducing bamboo straws into our stores. And then Ian and Freedom really pushed the agenda back in March. And while it obviously was a challenge operationally, we felt duty-bound from a moral obligation point of view to get on board. And so in quick succession, we started with Noodle House and Flow, our healthy eating hub, and then Pear Chic, and it went from there. And so we banned straws, single-use stirrers, swizzle sticks and cocktail sticks, basically everything that's superfluous to needs and single-use plastic. And it's just the start of a major initiative on our part. So our next move is thinking about, obviously, water bottles. They really contribute hugely to landfill here in the UAE especially. And then it's things like upcycling and how can we find multiple uses for plastics where we really can't remove them. So it's a massive project, but one that's started in earnest.
Nikki, and kudos to you and all the team down there at Jumeirah Restaurant Group for taking on this initiative in what is a very competitive hospitality industry. So making a change like this takes a lot of effort from you guys. But in terms of the challenges that you've faced, we are being encouraged all the time to individually make changes in our lives, etc. From an operation of your scale, what are the challenges of becoming plastic-free?
The challenges are when you lift the lid on plastics, you find how they really are endemic to everything we do. And actually, Nyla, who was on before, is a friend of JRG, and we met through the Waste Me Not campaign, the girls running it, and they came and dined with us at Needle House, and they have now become kind of our eco-sense check, if you will. So we'll look to find new alternatives, especially at the moment, home delivery packaging. We think we've found an answer, and then we find there's a plastic lacquer. Everyone thinks it's about being able to biodegrade, but actually it can still be harmful to the environment. So microplastics are as damning as the full plastic object themselves. So it's when you lift the lid and you actually really make a conscious and mindful effort to become plastic free, it's a frightening realization how it's everywhere. So from our point of view, we're committed to becoming as plastic free as possible. There are operational challenges with restaurants in terms of retrofitting. So if it's suddenly implementing water filtration instead of using plastic bottles, we might not have the space to provide that DM-approved, solution. So where we have those issues, we're looking at upcycling into from plastic bottles into green spun yarn, for example, and creating fabric. So there are I think what Nyla would say would be, it's not about reduction, it's about removal. Ultimately, that's the aim. From our point of view, long term, we want to be as plastic free as possible. In the interim, we'll find as many solutions as we can to divert from landfill and to really help change behaviour. I think that's the biggest thing.
So often the problem with going eco-friendly is that those options are more expensive. How are you guys managing the cost? Are you finding that it is more expensive to go for these sort of paper options?
So if you think about a straw, one, we don't need it. We can perform perfectly well without one. Neolithic man seems to do quite well. So we can do that. So that's not... So it's about changing our operating procedures. So instead of automatically throwing two straws in a drink, you just don't... You don't put any. And you ask people, or rather make it an option, an opt-in versus an opt-out. And in so doing, then you inspire a conversation with that person. I think that we haven't found anyone who's got upset by not having a straw when we've told them why we don't do it. Because actually, when people are mindful and they think about it, they realise that you just throw endless packs of cutlery to home deliveries. And when you have cutlery at home, so it's completely superfluous to needs. And I think that's the thing where it's so habitual. And where we as corporations have a moral obligation is to help influence and change that behaviour. And I think that's the really important thing from our point of view. That's why we're trying our level best to reduce wherever possible.
So I suppose I'm going to take it a bit more personal now. At home, if you were told that you had to pay to have your rubbish taken away and they were checking your rubbish to see whether you were recycling, whether you were sort of separating things, how would you feel about that? Because obviously you've been made quite eco-friendly by your environment at work, and you've been aware of the issues. Has it made a difference in your personal life?
Massively. And, because you have to practice what you preach. And this is a passion project for us as individuals, and we are demonstrating that as a collective of people who work together. But from my point of view, I welcome that. I have an endless amount of bags for life. I even bought those amazing net bags that you can use, put your fruit in. I think I come from part of the UK where it's almost, it's so draconian, the approach to being plastic-free, that if you were to walk into the supermarket in my local town, you would probably be in the stocks. You would be vilified beyond belief. So for me, that's always been very important. That said, I'm sure, there are still Q-tips and, for me, babies' nappies and things like that, which become even more, terrible in terms of landfill. So I actually welcome the tax. I think anything that makes somebody mindful has got to be good. This is not just about litter. It's about, it permeates into our ecosystem, into our food chain. And there's no coincidence that, you know, certain illnesses are on the rise with the advent of this plastic pollution. It, you know, you don't have to be a scientist to put the, to connect the dots. So from my point of view, from my personal point of view, I welcome anything that makes somebody think and try and find an alternative.
Nikki, congratulations with the initiative. It's got Thank made you. Headlines. Long may it continue as well. Well done to you and all the team down there
Thank
at Jumeirah
so
Restaurant
much.
Group.
Can I just play one thing? That there's an amazing screening of a movie called Straws on June the 9th at the Junction Alpha Cow Avenue. It's an extraordinary, inspirational and thought-provoking film about this very topic. The tickets are only 50 dirhams. You can buy them on Eventbrite. And there'll be a panel discussion afterwards with Emma and Ian from Freedom Pizza, actually hosted by Emma Brain. So amazing. Anyone who's interested should go down.
Definitely, yeah, completely. We'll get more of the details on that one from Emma and post them up on our sites as well. So bless
you.
Thank you
so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks.
Cheers for that. Nikki Walsh there, Marketing Manager at Jumeirah Restaurant Group, giving us her thoughts on behalf of all the team at Jumeirah Restaurant Group. Now, obviously, they look after brands like The Noodle House, Pier Chic, Flo, Pai Thai, Trattoria Toscana, Alnafura, Perry and Blackwelders, and Segretto as well. So wide changes down there. What about changes in your country of origin? What sort of changes are you seeing there with regards to the approach to waste, be it both personal but corporate as well? Thoughts, please. Thanks for all those that are texting in, giving examples of costs of waste in their country of origin, their city of origin. Apparently Hong Kong households will have to shell out around 33 to 51 Hong Kong dollars a month to dispose of their rubbish when a long-awaited quantity-based charging scheme designed to change behaviour and reduce waste comes into force in a couple of years' time. Environment Minister there has revealed the ranges of fees intended to meet the target of a 40% reduction in household waste by 2022. So how does that compare with your country of origin, your city of origin? Do send us your thoughts, please. Thanks to Anthony, who got in touch a little earlier on. He was saying in Sweden, we're allowed one plastic refuse bin and the council empty it once every 2 weeks. It is the individual's responsibility to recycle everything else, which sort of begs the question of how things work here. George and I were just talking about that off air a moment ago. Now, I know that it's only recently that we've had the recycling option come into where I call home here in the UAE, here in Dubai. And the way that we do it is that we recycle in-house, so you keep your plastic products and your paper products and etc. and your tin products on one side, and then all your food waste goes into another bag, and then we put both bags outside in separate bins, and then separate bins are collected by two different refuse collectors.
So it's different vans? Because I've always been suspicious, and this is was a long-held suspicion in the UK as well, that everything just gets thrown in the sink. Like, you do all your sorting, you're really careful. And then it all just goes in the same
evil,
place.
See no evil, hear no evil, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I can quantify that the recyclers come round in an individual van and they collect the recycling themselves from the recycling bins.
Okay.
You
don't track them, though.
General waste is collected by the facility managers, the estate managers,
yeah.
And then that all goes to a central collection point.
Oh, okay. So it really is different. Whereas I live in a compound, and I haven't ever really attempted to do any recycling. I didn't even know if there are separate bins, because somebody comes around and gets it for me, and I haven't really noticed it. I feel a bit bad about it now, especially, you know, glass and tin. I feel that those are two very easily recyclable things that should be dealt with. Some interesting text messages come through, though, about being charged. Arjun in the Greens says, one way to encourage recycling is to make it free for businesses. At my company, all our waste goes into landfill. And Aditya in Jebel Ali says, if you charge for rubbish collection, it'll just lead to fly tipping increases. People will dump and burn rubbish in the desert.
Interesting one from Rob here as well. Look, the show's all about opinions, and we encourage all of you to share your opinions with us. You can start doing that by texting us on 4001. Rob saying we should stop wasting time on such rubbish, find a big hole and dump it. Spend the extra money on helping the less well off and get real with the real problems we are facing. Thanks for that, Rob.
Mm.
Let's go to the lines now, if we can, where we can reach out and speak to Amruta, who joins us from the Greens this morning. Good morning, Amruta.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts on this subject this morning. I know it's a subject that is very close to your heart, and I know that you've worked tirelessly to try and make the UAE a greener place. So the paying of penalties for generating of waste, is that, in your opinion, going to have an impact?
It could be really good for, if you look at the business point of view, because whatever the waste is generated, it's kind of impacting, but the waste going to landfill, impacting human health, environment, as well as, like, you know, I look at it like the resources which are used to create those products which are getting wasted and ending up in landfill, those resources as well are getting wasted. So I feel, yes, if there could be such a law where government is kind of having this kind of like, you know, have a law where government can push businesses to reduce the material waste, where this all these resources also would be saved. And the topic dear to me is zero waste. So basically, I would like to mention that part. Like I have this my personal dream where we all can kind of take actions to reduce waste and maybe sometime achieve zero waste, which I feel is the most like, you know, it's in circular economy way, it could be very useful for our environment, human health, as well as economy. So
so let's just stick with the charging for generation of waste. I know that this is a policy that works very well over in the United States, because it's dealt at big corporations, and the bigger the corporation, the bigger the business, the bigger fee you pay for the collection and disposal of your waste. Is that something that would work, in your opinion, here? Is that something that can be micromanaged on a sort of individual basis? Are we ever going to get to that point, as we are over in Hong Kong?
Yeah, I don't know on the individual level how easy it could be to implement, but I can clearly see for businesses that could be more trackable for now, where on the large organizations or the manufacturing facilities or where the waste is generated in tons every day or kind of larger quantity, if not in tons. So I think that could be trackable, and maybe government can start from that point, and then it could be, because for, I don't know, for now having this kind of law which can affect individual family unit or individual families could be difficult, because there is no tracking system or anything, but providing better in recycling infrastructure definitely is the way forward. We can see it's getting better and better infrastructure-wise for recycling. And we need more options for recycling as well. For example, we do have few facilities or few companies who take kind of used cooking oil or these kind of things. But it's not very easy to find these places, or for example, if it is not near you, people tend to kind of get lazy, that why should I collect it and take it far away and make a trip far away to drop that. So I think that's what we need to do here. And another thing I feel is a big gap, which is organic waste recycling. I haven't come across the facilities where people can take their organic waste and could be converted into compost, or could be recycled, basically. So something like that is really needed here. Yeah.
Amruta, really appreciate your thoughts this morning. Thank you so much indeed for those with us, joining us this morning here on The Agenda. It is your morning phone-in. It's your morning opinion piece, so feel free to share your opinions. Amruta doing exactly that and continuing her journey to try and make the UAE a greener place. One thing that really struck me about this whole thing is, did it surprise you that the likes of McDonald's and Tetra Pak said no to these?
Yeah, pretty ballsy, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, you know, with the huge weight of sort of social pressure and media pressure at the moment, all towards, you know, it's extraordinary how it's gained so much traction. All this, you know, more plastic than fish in the sea. For two major companies to come out and be quite so counter-cyclical is quite extraordinary. I mean, I suppose from Tetra Pak's point of view, they're just like, well, we can't take the straws off. Like, we haven't got a decent replacement. You just won't be able to drink our drinks. So I'm afraid we can't move that quickly. McDonald's was a little bit more niche, but still unusual for such big companies to come out and basically fly in the face of what feels like quite popular opinion at the moment.
This was last Thursday where shareholders at McDonald's annual meeting rejected a proposal to ban plastic straws at the global fast food giant's 37,000 outlets serving 68 million customers every day. A proposal that environmental activists had argued could help save marine life threatened by a worldwide explosion of plastic pollution. What about your reaction to that particular story? Your thoughts, please. Do get them in to us. We'll read out some more of them straight after a short break.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.